From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM, and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
CBS News Brief. Just in from Washington, a defense official tells CBS News the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff was informed Defense Secretary Austin had been hospitalized last week, but never told the White House. A massive storm system triggered winter weather alerts from the southwest to the upper Midwest. CBS meteorologist David Parkinson.
There are blizzard warnings in portions of New Mexico, Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, Nebraska, and Colorado. All of that is for snow and wind.
System could make its way to parts of the Northeast already buried in more than a foot of snow. A school teacher near Portland, Oregon's found a missing part in his backyard after a huge chunk of fuselage blew off an Alaska Airlines plane Friday. CBS's Chris Van Cleve.
The piece that came out is known as a plug door. It is in place of an emergency exit that would be required if the plane seated more people.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin Republicans are introducing their bill to legalize medical marijuana today, but Assembly Speaker Amit Voss tells WISN-TV's Upfront there will be limits.
It'll probably be the most restrictive version in the entire country, but one that we guarantee that only helps people who are truly sick and doesn't lead toward any kind of recreational marijuana.
Governor Evers has said he would sign a medical marijuana bill into law. Nearly 111,000 people in Wisconsin older than 65 have Alzheimer's disease. The Alzheimer's Association is pinpointing rates of the disease in each state and county for the first time. Researchers say they hope it will help public health officials provide better care. Alzheimer's is the most common form of dementia and one of the top 10 causes of death in the U.S. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The price of gas fell again during the last week. With a drop of 7.4 cents, the average across Wisconsin today is $2.61 per gallon. This is 23 cents lower than a month ago and over 47 cents lower than this time last year. Patrick DeHaan, head of petroleum analysis at Gas Buddy, is still hopeful the national average will drop below $3. It sits at $3.03 today. He said the demand is sluggish and there's a record rise in gasoline inventories. However, it sounds like you'll need to enjoy the low prices now, as the rise in mid-February leading into spring could be bumpy and sharp, with increases of 35 to 85 cents per gallon. Prices across central Wisconsin today range from $2.51 to $2.59. The KB Willett Arena has open skating tomorrow from 10:30 to noon. You can bring your own skates or rent a pair for $4. They'll sharpen your skates for $7 a pair. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's the calm before the storm. Cloudy today with high temperatures climbing to the mid-30s and snow starting to slam us after 9 o'clock tonight, prompting a winter storm watch that lasts through tomorrow evening. Around 4 to 7 inches is expected, with the heaviest of it hitting tomorrow morning. Currently, it's 28.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning.
Seth Habhacker.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We hope you're having a great start to your week out there. Feel free to call up and join the conversation, 424-2600. We're looking forward to you joining us in our segments coming up. We got some entertainment news on the way. We got a couple of other fun things. We're going to get into predictions that were made 100 years ago and how many of them stick. But it is a Monday morning in 2024, and we know what that means.
Tell me something good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hello and welcome to The Kitchen's Open, the segment designed to delight, entertain, and tempt your taste buds.
We're here to tell you what not to eat and when you can eat it.
Well, that's not very encouraging, Seth.
Hey, it's the time of year when practically everyone has fitness goals, so shouldn't we be telling people what they can and can't eat?
Well, that's typically not very helpful.
Oh, you want this to be helpful. All right, then. We're here to tell you what you can eat and what you can't eat.
Oh, I guess that's kind of accurate.
I have a feeling you two could do this all day and not actually tell us anything.
Totally. Yep. Yeah, totally right. Yes. Yeah.
So let's get to the meat and tell our listeners what the topic of today's segment is, shall we?
I hope it's not meat.
No, there's actually a lot of debate about meat in our daily diet and whether it's good for us and the planet in general.
That's a very controversial topic to bring up here in the heart of the Dairyland.
True, but proponents of less meat in our diet make a compelling argument, citing not only improved cardiovascular health for people, but also reduced pressure on forests and land used to grow animal feed.
Don't forget the reduction in greenhouse gas emissions that will help us hit our target carbon emissions goal. Wait, why am I advocating for this? I can't survive without bacon double cheeseburgers. Are you trying to kill me, Lisa? Like, I this is all I live on.
Well, it's not a requirement that you go full vegetarian. There are some diets like paleo that encourage meat. However, your cheese would be out since it's processed.
Oh, now see, now paleo, I like a lot. I've read a lot of quotes from paleo. Sorry.
Yes, it's as in Paleolithic, or 10,000 years ago. The theory is that by going back to the diet of our Paleolithic era ancestors, we'll be much healthier.
But the real question is, did they have bacon? Okay, this is the great debate. Because I could maybe eat a bacon double cheeseburger without the cheese, but if you cut out the bacon, what do I have left? A hamburger? This is not too much. I'm getting sad here.
And we haven't even mentioned raw food diets or gluten-free diets.
Now we're talking. Now you're taking my bun, too?
Yeah.
Hold up. Now, this has gone too far.
Calm down, guys. This isn't even the topic of our segment today.
It's not? You mean my bacon double cheeseburger is safe? Oh, God.
But I have all this information on how to diet. The diet of hunter-gatherers is better for us and how all this refined food, 70% of our diet. Did you hear that? 70% of our diet is causing cardiovascular diseases, obesity, diabetes, periodontal disease, bad breath, bad teeth.
What does this have to do with brushing our teeth?
It has to do with the excessive reliance on cereals or carbohydrates by early Egyptians causing both tooth decay, which can cause other health issues.
Now you're going to take my Captain Crunch berries too, but what am I going to eat?
They didn't have crunch berries in Egypt.
Seth, your information is going to come in handy because we're talking about an eating habit then that's still around now and how it can be healthy.
So we're making my bacon double cheeseburger over the campfire. Oh, okay.
Not exactly. We're talking about snacking.
Ooh, snacking. Ancient humans didn't snack, did they?
Actually, there's some argument that's mainly the way that they ate before civilizations were established.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's not like they could whip up a 5-course meal in the middle of the woods with a handful of berries and some jerky.
Very true. So we're going to take a quick dive into the history of the snacking industry as we know it today and talk about how snacks can help with your diet and keeping to your New Year's resolutions.
Well, all right. I happen to be the king of snacking. I'll have you know, you could almost call me a pro. Most of my meals are, in fact, snacks.
James, you do realize that the definition of snack is a small amount of food eaten between meals.
So I'll get to the meal eventually. The definition doesn't say when the meal has to happen.
You know, he's got a point.
Sadly, yes.
Now, on to our topic. Snacks sometimes get a bad rap. How many times have you been told not to snack because it'll ruin your appetite?
Oh, dear God.
Like every day.
Mom's most famous words.
I swear to you, God, as soon as you were saying that, Melissa, I heard my Nana saying it. I right in my head.
I have said it to my own children. Oh, yes. Yes.
Oh, yes. It's a common
universal.
Common
yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting to me how many people live this way. And so many people that I know that I wouldn't have known, I wouldn't have guessed live this way. Our friend Terry, Terry Johns, is a grazer as well. Very similar. And I've always kind of been that way, too. I think there's a lot more of that than I ever realized.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got it.
Well, if we look back a little ways, the snack food industry went crazy in the 20th century. The development of factory-produced foods and the packaging that goes with us gave us snack foods like Oreos, candy bars, potato chips, crackers, M&Ms, and Pop-Tarts. Now, these are the very foods that our moms didn't want us eating in between meals, and for good reason.
I don't think it's a surprise to anyone that eating those snack foods on a regular basis would decrease your appetite for good meals and add to unhealthy weight gain.
But snacks can be a part of a healthy diet and add to, rather than diminish, our overall health.
If I can't snack, I will probably die. So please tell me how to do this.
Honestly, we just have to go back to what our ancestors snacked on.
Dried berries and jerky? Actually, that doesn't sound too bad to me. I mean, it's no Snickers, but I like beef jerky, so I'm all right with this.
Whatever it takes to stop you from turning into Liza Minnelli.
Hey, I would have been great in cabaret. You know, it's darn COVID.
Now back to snacks. There's a lot of easy-to-grab chips, candies, and bars in the grocery store, but as we know, those are highly processed foods and can be associated with weight gain. A large majority of New Year's resolutions have to do with making healthy choices in this new year. Now, snacking can play a part in helping you stick to those resolutions.
And it's not all dried fruit and jerky.
And it's not all what you eat, but also why and when.
This is sounding more and more complicated. Can I just eat when I'm hungry, please?
Actually, yes. Mm. You should eat when you're hungry, and not because you're bored or just indulging. These are some of the reasons snacking's got a bad rap. You need to fit your snacking into your overall eating plan.
The trick is planning nutrient-dense snacks that provide a boost of energy and help curb your appetite until you get to the next mealtime.
In fact, the concept of meal planning can be applied to snacks as well. According to an article on hsph.harvard.edu called The Science of Snacking, you should think about what hours of the day you feel hungry between meals. Think about why you snack. Is it because you're truly hungry or because you're bored, stressed, tired, or angry? If you're eating from emotion, that's another conversation altogether.
Well, let's skip that conversation for now and stay on topic. I don't think James can handle it if we go down another rabbit hole right now.
Have you met me? Rabbit holes are my jam. Mindful eating practices are helpful in many aspects of your life. Honoring your food, engaging all your senses, savoring small bits, and eating modest portions. It's the eating slowly and not skipping meals part of mindful eating. I have issues with, but... Hence snacking!
Oh, good grief. All right, so look, to focus here, the final important thing to consider when snacking is that what snack choices will satisfy you. If you're craving something sweet and you decide popcorn would be a healthier choice, you may still feel hungry or want to snack again because you didn't satisfy your specific craving. Mm-hmm.
So a better choice might have been yogurt.
Maybe. But if you were also craving something crunchy, maybe you should have gone with an apple and peanut butter to satisfy both cravings.
This is really smart. So it's not only the fact that I'm hungry, but also what types of food I'm craving I need to consider when I plan my snacks. Huh. Mom, are you hearing this? This is going to make that you're so proud. Oh, I gotta make sure she hears this segment.
Planning your snacks. Well, the final important element to planning your snacks is planning a snack size portion. A general rule is to stick to 150 to 250 calories, so you should only have about a tablespoon of peanut butter with that apple, or string cheese with about 6 whole grain crackers.
Spit take. 6 crackers? Yeah, right.
Then you're not eating enough at mealtime, James.
Yeah. Meals are important, blah, blah, blah.
So let's talk about some snack ideas to help you build your daily snack planning.
Pen and paper ready? Go.
We've all heard of the mixed nuts and dried fruit or dark chocolate and almonds.
I'd eat that.
But what about cucumber slices with hummus, red bell pepper with guacamole, or celery sticks with cream cheese?
I do.
Any, all, anyone?
I did not understand one word you just said.
It was
actually
green and a vegetable.
Try the red bell pepper with guacamole. I think that would be really good.
Yeah, I think it'd work. Celery sticks. I actually like celery, and I like it with many, yeah, many different things. So yeah, I'm for that. Yeah.
Melissa, are you sitting down?
I am.
I love celery.
Whoa.
Yeah. I actually like celery. Yeah. That's, hey. I'm actually a fan of it. I never
exactly
think about
for
it.
For you, though, a person that needs to put on weight, you need to add something to that celery, James.
Yeah.
Celery takes, what's the old thing we've always heard? Burns more calories eating that than it adds to your body?
Right. Oh, I thought you were going to say you are what you eat because James looks like a celery stick.
Oh.
Glad you said that, not me. Another great snack is a protein smoothie, especially in the morning before lunch. You can use many different combinations of fruits and vegetables and then add in healthy fats to make it filling, like avocado is amazing in smoothies. Mm. You can also add in different nut butters or chia seeds. Even Greek yogurt or tofu can boost the protein content. One of my favorite smoothies are blueberries, a half a banana, and spinach, and then you add in the chia seeds.
Mm,
I usually
Greek.
Use water. Mm. But you can also use milk for your liquid.
All right. Greek yogurt and mixed berries are another great snack, high in protein, and the berries are a great source of antioxidants.
Hmm. I do like non-dairy yogurts.
Mm, right.
And I try to add berries into it when I remember.
Berries are good for adding to anything, basically.
They are.
Yeah.
Over the last couple of years, I've worked to try to like replace my normal snacks of, you know, cookies and chips and stuff with granola. Mm. And I started doing it with, because they sell a lot of granola nowadays with like chunks of dark chocolate in it.
Right, exactly. You know,
and I started with that and kind of moved from that to just regular old granola. Mm. But one of the things that I didn't think about that this is really bringing home to me is the idea of that the types of things, like what I'm craving is not so much about the flavor, but the texture.
Mm-hmm.
I've understood a lot more of that. So I think that when you understand that, it helps you find, like, okay, well, I'm looking for this type of texture. What fits that's healthy?
Right.
I don't know if I'm doing this right or not. I'm being very
honest. No, that's great, though. Yeah.
In my head, this is what's happening. I don't know if it's working.
Well, because you're craving something specific, and if you have something completely different, you're still going to have that craving.
You haven't satisfied it. You haven't satisfied the,
That is literally mind-blowing to me. That is awesome. That is really interesting. That is very, it makes perfect sense. I just never thought about it once in my life. That's interesting.
Now, dairy and fruit are a great snack for those who can tolerate dairy just fine. Think cottage cheese and peaches, or cheese and an apple or pear, or even cherry tomatoes and mozzarella.
Mozzarella. What about olives and cheese?
It's a cliche.
It's so cliche.
That's a great combination as well. Actually, olives are one of my favorite snacks. I don't eat them with cheese, but I do. That's something I have in the afternoon typically.
You know, my brother growing up it is a snacker too, but was a healthy snacker. Like Nick, we'd get new olives and they'd be gone. And Nick, he just pound on olives. He loved them. He just liked them. Like it was always when he would ever grab a sandwich, it wouldn't just be like what I do, like two pieces of bread and some pepperoni. Like Nick would actually put together a sandwich.
You get actual sandwich.
You know, that kind of there are smart snackers that I've known. There are smart grazers or however you want to
put it. Yeah, exactly. That's a good way of putting it.
And olives are actually amazing. This really literally just happened. I got a text this morning from a group chat of friends that came across a recipe for honey whipped feta with olives, and we decided we could plan a party around that.
Oh, wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So we're having a black and gold party sometime this spring, apparently, around olives and feta.
Nice.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
I get it. Oh, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, right. Well, let's face it. Pretty much all of us snack, sometimes in between meals, sometimes as meals, like James.
Hey.
Yeah, but however you include snacks in your life, it's a great idea to try and keep them as healthy and low-processed as possible. Mm.
And the snack food industry isn't going anywhere. Foods that are easy to carry and quickly accessible are in high demand. Statistica.com says the United States leads with over $106 billion in profits in the snack industry last year.
And one source said that in the last 15 years, snack sales have grown 2 to 5 times faster than the food industry itself.
That's it, guys. I'm done. This is it. I'm opening my own snack business. I'm calling it James Snacks. No, wait a minute. No, Snacks with James. Bido James.
Wait, that's kind of taken.
Snackatocious.
Snackatocious.
Yickety Yak, don't snack back.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yickety Yak, don't snack back. That's the company.
Failed.
That's it.
Already.
You know, I think this is a good spot to close the kitchen.
I'm sorry. Yeah, we just went bankrupt.
Thank you for joining us today for this edition of The Kitchen's Open. We're still looking for a sponsor. So if you'd like your business highlighted during this segment every Monday, just reach out.
You can contact Pam at our front office by calling 715-424-1300, and she'll put you in touch with our sales staff.
That's 715-424-1300. Call up and join, everybody.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for listening. And with that, we'll close the kitchen.
Yes. Oh,
that was fun to do that again. It's been a while.
It was a while. been too long. That was a exactly. lot of fun. A big, big thank you to Melissa and the work that she does on this. And I'm not alone on this one, Melissa. I have learned from this segment. I know many of our listeners have, and I do mean many. I've heard from many of them over the year or two that we've been doing this. You do some great work with it.
Yeah.
This one in particular, I really read like twice. Like, I really did learn some things from this one.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
It was pretty cool. It was pretty interesting, and it's going to change the way that I snack from now on. And the way I look at that and everything.
You reached him. Melissa, you finally reached him.
Yay! It's been a breakthrough.
Fun segment. Be on the lookout for that every Monday, everybody. And we are looking for a sponsor for that one. So do reach out to our team here and get in on join the team. We'd love to have you.
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
Be on the lookout for another Kitchens Open next Monday right here in the 9 o'clock hour. We'll come back and have some more fun right here on The Morning Show.
Tell me something.
It's fully leaded education talk. Hard facts with a humorous twist. Check out Busted Pencils, Tuesdays at 7 on locally grown radio, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR, and on the Civic Media app.
Celebrating 75 years.
We got something going here in Madison.
On the ice.
Shoots and scores again.
Against the boards.
He hangs on. Badgers kill off the major.
Between the pipes.
Redirect another fan. Fantastic stuff.
This is Badger Hockey.
Shoots one, scores. Wow.
It's everything.
For the win, he shoots and scores.
Badger Hockey lives here.
Keep it going, baby.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. 424-2600. Call up and join the conversation. We'd love to have you on with us. Call up and join. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah.
Again, a big shout out to Melissa and the work on the Kitchens Open segment there. Very nice, nicely done.
Yes.
Appreciate you, Mel. Let's dive into a little bit of entertainment news. The Golden Globes went down last night, and luckily nobody got in trouble. Nobody got canceled.
Well, assaulted or anything.
Nobody got canceled, but Joe Coy might be having a hard time finding work after last night. It went bad. It went bad, everybody. This is something that is doesn't happen as much as it used to. Mm-hmm. We were spoiled as kids. We grew up in the time, the end of Bob Hope and the beginning of Billy Crystal.
Mm-hmm.
And Billy Crystal, I think we kind of like took it lightly how great he was at emceeing. Every year he was the host of the Oscars. Yeah, he was. He, as far as the modern equivalent of those things, he's the best I've seen as far as like the host of a show or some outside of Bob Hope. Bob Hope to me was the GOAT. I never saw anybody better at it than Bob Hope, and I don't know if we ever will.
Right.
But Billy Crystal was darn close and very good at it. And then he kind of like pulled away from it, and we've been looking for people ever since to be able to do
this. It
really
seems that way.
There really hasn't been. Name me the person that you've seen that like, oh, I want to watch this award show because they have this host. 715-424-2600. I'd love to hear. I'm generally asking that. That's rhetorical. I'm not saying that because I know I got you.
Yeah, right.
No, please tell me. Is there somebody you've had? Did you like Ricky Gervais? Did you like this person? Mm-hmm. Because it's not just me that wants to know. The award shows want to figure this out.
They're very desperate at this point. Please.
Joe Coy, who incurred Taylor Swift's wrath when he told the big difference between the Golden Globes and the NFL on the Golden Globes. We have fewer camera shots of Taylor Swift. He told that joke, and he got an icy stare from Taylor Swift.
Of course.
But there's a lot of people saying that she was doing this as a joke. She was playing along with the bit.
Okay.
That she wasn't actually staring him down. And in fact, she's been trying to be very clear about this herself. She was not upset by the joke. She could take a punch.
Yeah, right.
She understands what the...
She wouldn't be where she is.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But the... And I'm not trying to pick on him or anything like that. Taylor Swift has actually done a decent job with some of the camera work she has done. I don't know if she's a good actor or not. Mm-hmm. What I've seen, I'm sorry, I don't think she is yet. She could be, and she's going to have plenty of opportunities.
In all likelihood, yeah.
But so far from what I've seen, I haven't seen that in her. But she is very good in these bits moments. You see it in commercials all the time. She has moments where she's very charming, very, you know, mm-hmm. she's very friendly with the camera. And this was one of those moments. It should have been really funny. Joe Coy just didn't land he didn't set her up right. You gotta set her up. You gotta give her an opportunity. It actually came across where she makes it look like a jerk when she's not trying to be a jerk. She's just trying to be funny.
Right, right. Because that wasn't like a mean joke. It was just pretty innocuous.
I gotta imagine if I'm Taylor Swift, that's one of the tamest jokes anybody has ever made at my expense.
Exactly.
I think so.
And he's not the first that said something like that.
It's a great point.
Things about shots of the NFL being more popular now because of her.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to me, I when your show starts that way, that's why that opening monologue is so key.
Oh, important.
Because the whole rest of the night is kind of like rough mm-hmm. from there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big part of the reason why you see more times than not music numbers. Music mm-hmm. numbers open award shows almost consistent, like 98% of the time. Because that's a hit or miss thing,
mm-hmm.
but you always get people that love music.
Yeah.
And people that are watching these shows.
Love that production number, yeah.
Tend to love the pop and circumstance and all mm-hmm. that.
Sure.
As for the awards, Oppenheimer won Best Motion Picture Drama. Cillian Murphy, Robert Downey Jr., and director Christopher Nolan all took home individual awards.
Wow.
Lillian Gladstone from Killers of the Flower Moon became the first indigenous actress to win a Best Female Actor in a Motion Picture Film.
Wow.
She also gave the... You have to hear the acceptance speech.
Ooh.
She did it in her native language.
Oh, that's so cool.
Wow.
So cool.
Thinking for those of us that grew up seeing Marlon Brando, win an Oscar and having a Native American go up there mm-hmm. and accept the award.
Right.
Actually having a Native American win an award.
Like, yeah.
First off, it's a damn shame that it took this long.
Yep.
There's been a lot of great Native American actors over the decades.
Yeah.
The industry is built on a lot of it,
right,
actually.
Right, right. Although, I mean, they've been out there, but there's been so few, you know, roles for them to play. Yeah,
right,
exactly.
That's
the tough part.
Because so many roles that they should have had were... given to people not of that.
Right, exactly.
A bit of a shocker here. Barbie lost out to Poor Things for Best Musical or Comedy Film, but it did win the new award for Cinematic and Box Office Achievement.
What?
Way to go, Golden Globes.
It made
Globes.
The most money, in other words.
I really don't know what to think.
What?
And Billie Eilish took home a Globe for the soundtrack song What Was I Made For? Poor Things star Emma Stone won Best Female Actor in Musical or Comedy Award. Congratulations to her.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big fan of Emma Stone's.
Yeah, she's great.
HBO Succession was named Best TV Drama, while Kieran Culkin and a bunch of others all won for their work. The Bear won Best TV Musical or Comedy. Congratulations to them.
Yeah.
Jeremy Allen White won acting awards for it as well. So congratulations on that. And just taking a look at the quick list here of winners that I haven't covered. Let's see. Paul Giamatti won for Best Actor in a Musical or Comedy for The Holdovers.
Oh, nice.
I did mention Robert Downey Jr. won Best Supporting Actor, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Okay. So those are the big ones that are in the TV awards. All went to... non-network TV shows.
Mm.
Succession, The Bear, I see even in individual awards were to The Bear or to The Crown or Succession. No network TV shows on this list.
Wow. Ooh.
That is difficult. That is very interesting to me.
Yes.
We could spend the next 20 minutes talking about the sign of the times and all that. That conversation's gone on a billion times already.
Right.
I want to know what the people think about this and mm-hmm. how they feel about it.
Yeah.
Award shows are meant to be for people. They're meant to be for the fans. Every award show that exists is supposed to be built for fans.
Right.
The Golden Globes is one of those ones that skewed this a lot over the years and has mm-hmm. become, hey, we just want to pat ourselves on the back.
Yeah.
And a lot of that.
Yeah.
So I think that there's a little pushback from that. The ratings show that. But how you get that group of people, and I'm not picking on this at all, but if you will, the CSI crowd, the Blue Bloods crowd, the group of people that are still, that's where they watch TV. They have no interest in streaming. Mm-hmm. How you get that group to get connect with this group.
Yeah.
And that's going to be interesting going forward. That's going to be interesting seeing how that develops. And where we go with this,
it's going to be
entertainment wise. It's going to be very interesting. Mm-hmm. I got my award, my votes in before the end of the year for SAG and the Oscars. And I'm not going to get into too much of this, although Seth and I will talk a little bit about it on Director's Cut coming up.
All right.
Looking forward to that. I will tell you all, I am putting my name on this. I don't think there's going to be a sweep this year of any one movie.
Okay.
But the closest we're going to have is Oppenheimer.
In all likelihood, I think you're right. Yeah.
Best film, best actor, best supporting actor, best director, best original screenplay. Boom, 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 boom. I voted for all of those without even thinking about it. But not a problem in my mind.
Right.
It's one of the most important movies I'll ever see.
Mm-hmm.
And just speaking for me, I encourage others to check it out, but I think that it was. And I'm really happy to see movies like Poor Things and The Leftovers getting some notoriety, mm-hmm. getting some chance. The Poor Things, it's a little bit of a different film, goes in different directions, but an independent contract. And The Leftovers. That is a
Holdovers or whatever it was.
That
yeah.
is an interestingly beautiful movie with no budget. And Paul Giamatti just, it shows you all the green screen, all that stuff and everything. You can't get that with acting. Acting can't give you that. Acting like the performance he gives in that, you can't get with a green screen. You can't get with special effects. It's
all right there, yeah.
It's a really interesting one.
Cool.
I used to love the Golden Globes as a kid. I thought it was such a cool idea. TV, movies, music.
Everything, right?
Bring all these worlds together. And I honestly, I don't know how much longer the Golden Globes are going to exist. I really don't.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see, not just the Golden Globes. I'm not going to just pick on them. All award shows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When was the last time anybody was drawn to an award show? And I'm not just talking about entertainment. The NFL honors. The MLB honors,
the ESPYs.
Where they just get watched because they're on.
Yes, exactly, Mel. Yeah. There's plenty of people that'll do that. I guess there's nothing else on. Especially a lot of people won't have network TV going against these shows. So there's literally nothing else on.
Yeah.
But with the power of streaming, I choose what's on.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't have to wait. So if in years past, if there was nothing else on when I normally watch mm-hmm. this show on Sunday night, I guess I'll watch the award show.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, an award show's on, I'm going to pull up Hulu. I'm going to pull up Netflix. I'm going to pull up one of these shows that just won.
What is this? I'm going to watch this movie now. Let's watch that instead.
Why watch them? Why watch the actors and creators get awards for it? I'm just going to watch the dang show.
I think it's one of those things where they'll always give out the awards, but I think the whole presentation, kind of thing would be, one of my favorite things is like the first Academy Awards ceremony was like 30 minutes long.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's it. It's like, here's the awards, no speeches, just here's who won, here's your statue, yeah, thank you, good night, kind of thing.
Instead
of it being a big party, they'll do it virtually. Everybody gives their awards acceptance speeches from their living rooms.
Yeah, yeah. And they've already had a little bit of that during the pandemic. So yeah, they've done it before.
I recently, I've been trying to get better at watching some of Robin Williams' work. Because I still haven't been able to get myself to watch one of his movies.
Okay.
Full movie. I've watched scenes, but I haven't been able to watch a whole movie yet. I used to do this every Oscar season, but I haven't done it in years since he passed. I used to pull up the clip of him winning the Oscar for Good Will Hunting.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of it's my favorite moment in award show history. By far and away. That and Sally Field, those are one and two. Mm-hmm. My favorite award show moments. I watched it this weekend, and it's such a beautiful moment. If you get a chance to watch it, I encourage you to, especially because it's like 2 minutes long. It's not even that long.
Right.
Robin goes up there, and he the first thing out of his mouth, I'm actually speechless for once. and he kind of shows it. He gives you a very simple boom, boom, boom. There's a little bit of an awkward moment there with a canceled person, but it's a beautifully sweet, just quickly, very fast, mm-hmm. and you don't even realize that's Robin Williams because he's talking like you never heard him before, really.
It's from the heart.
It's sweet and funny, and it's also beautiful and short. Mm-hmm. I think that that's a good note on that, Seth, when you're talking about the award shows being short.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Everything. We'll get to our news right now. We'll come back and have some more fun. We got to get into this one, guys. 10 predictions about 2024 from 100 years ago.
All right. Ooh, can't wait.
Yeah, coming up. You don't got to wait 100 years, just a couple minutes. Coming up on the morning show here at WFHR.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Much of Wisconsin will be under a winter storm watch tomorrow. The heaviest snow is expected in the south and east from the Illinois border up to Door County. Places like Milwaukee and Madison might get as much as 11 inches of snow. Green Bay could get a foot. Forecasters say it'll be windy, too. The need for blood donations never dips, even though donations typically go down this time of year.
Usually due to holiday seasons and start of the new year and winter weather, it makes for a challenging time to collect.
The Red Cross's Diane Wright says that's why January is National Blood Donor Month. One blood donor helps two people who may have cancer, been in an accident, or needs emergency surgery. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Alzheimer's is the most common form of dementia in Wisconsinites over the age of 65. As reported by WBAY and according to the Alzheimer's Association, Wood County is estimated in the top three counties in the state with the highest prevalence at 11%. But the numbers don't vary much across the state. Portage County ranks number 48 with 10%. That's 1,300 people over the age of 65 diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and in Wood County, that number is estimated at 1,700. Early diagnosing can help those afflicted retain more brain function if they can afford treatment. Warning signs for the disease include disruptive memory loss, difficulty with familiar tasks, worsening judgment, and changes in mood and personality. The DNR will start accepting reservations for accessible cabins at Wisconsin State properties this Wednesday, January 10th. These cabins are available only to people with disabilities and their guests, limited to four consecutive nights per year. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay.
Whether you're a do-it-yourselfer or professional technician, Auto Value is committed to providing the parts you need and the service you deserve. Auto Value Parts Store. We've got the parts. We've got the smarts. Your school can earn up to $10,000 this year. Just save the UPCs from the Country Hearth products your family already enjoys. Learn more at loavesforlearning.com. That's loavesforlearning.com.
Hey, Dad. Your prescription will be ready in just a minute. Hey, Dad. Your laundry will be ready in just a minute. Dad, your lunch will be ready in just a minute.
Hey, honey, why don't you take a minute?
When you help care for a loved one, you give them as much time as you can, making sure they're safe and comfortable. But it's just as important that you take some time for yourself. At AARP, we can help with information and useful tips on how you can maintain a healthy life balance, care for your own physical and mental well-being, and manage the challenges of caring for a loved one. Because the better care you take of yourself, the better care you can provide for your loved one.
Thanks, Dad.
Thank you. You're there for them. We're here for you. Find free care guides to support you and your loved one at aarp.org/caregiving. That's aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's the calm before the storm. Cloudy today with high temperatures climbing to the mid-30s and snow starting to slam us after 9 o'clock tonight, prompting a winter storm watch that lasts through tomorrow evening. Around 4 to 7 inches is expected, with the heaviest of it hitting tomorrow morning. Currently, it's 28.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Morning show on WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth, Melissa, James, all hanging out with you. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. Hope you're having a good start to your week.
Mm-hmm.
A list of predictions from 100 years ago in 1924 came out. what do you think the world will be like in 100 years from now? Someone looked at predictions people made in 1924, and here are some of the highlights,
okay,
including a few insightful predictions and some that weren't so spot on.
All right.
Now, I want to do two things with this. I want to do this list. We'll go through this. And you guys are welcome to join the conversation, as always, 715-424-2600. Then, I want to do our own predictions.
Okay. For 100 years from now. Okay. 100 years from now. Yes, yes.
All right.
So let's have some fun with this. And again, we want audience participation. You all received your morning show at home, play at home games. Mm-hmm. So you can call up and join the conversation, 715-424-2600.
Nice.
No one would have teeth. This was predicted. This was the first prediction. Nobody's going to have any teeth. A nationally syndicated advice columnist thought America's eating habits could drastically change our looks. Quote, will we have any teeth at all? Will there be any color on our face except paint? Will the men have any height to speak of, or will they all be girth?
Oh, jeez.
So they didn't think we were going to go taller. We were going to go wider.
Grow wider.
Well, sugar was a big boom, you know, wow. Like it really took off in a very short period of time. So, you know, I mean, that's not far-fetched.
It's funny how it's kind of similar to what we're still talking about.
We kind of went the other way with this, though.
Dental care is definitely better.
Yes, that's for sure. Yeah.
And not only that, but the things that you can do with your teeth nowadays, that mm-hmm. not only getting, you know, veneers or having them redone.
Implants. Yeah.
But I mean, you can put gold on them. You can put silver on them. I mean, all these different things.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I can't imagine what somebody with wooden teeth looking at people nowadays would be thinking. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Halitosis.
Horses would go extinct. A professor at USC predicted horses would be endangered species because of the invention of automobiles would render them useless. Quote, in another 100 years, you may find horses in zoos. I'm sure you will not find them anywhere else.
Wow.
Well, I guess that's kind of similar to our predictions of AI taking over. And
it's a good thing to keep this in perspective. Yeah, exactly.
I'm already, we're two in, and I'm like, why do people ever make predictions?
Seriously.
We suck at it.
Yeah, we're terrible.
We're really bad at this. Like, not even Nostradamus was good at it. Anything they give Nostradamus credit for is the vaguest stuff you'll ever read. There will be a natural disaster.
Yeah.
Oh my God, there was a natural disaster.
What natural disaster? What are you talking about?
He was right.
Working from home. In a book called Wireless Possibilities, a guy basically predicted the internet. He said we'd be doing most things remotely, and it would be great if you don't like cities. Quote, what a help to the man who objects to a large city. Why could he not conduct his business from his home, from the comfort of his own home?
Wow.
That one came true.
That one did come true. Nice. Mm-hmm. Not exactly in the form, and they never do. I mean, the ones that are right. But of course, that's very, very interesting.
Yeah, insightful.
75 would seem young. A British politician predicted life expectancy would be at least 100 years old, and we'd still feel fairly young at 75.
Okay. I think that's about half right. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, I agree.
It depends on lifestyle and how much effort they put into keeping fit.
Right. But we have kind of gone through the 50 is the new 40 and 70, 60, yep. 70 and all that stuff. So I think that part's true. I don't think we're quite at the living to 100 yet. I mean, like as on average, obviously we're not. But
average, no.
No. Like but a, so, yeah, that's not bad, though. Not bad. I can take that one.
It's a kind of an interesting one. The average life expectancy, of course, varies throughout the world everything. Correct. But 76.4 years it was the average in 2021.
Okay. There you go.
We are declining a little bit.
Yeah. Right. Yep.
Get on those healthy habits, people.
Healthy snacking.
This one's a little uncomfortable. World peace. Movie mogul D.W. Griffith predicted moving pictures would help end all wars because they were a universal language that could help us all understand each other. He said by 2024, movies would have played a huge part in, quote, eliminating from the face of civilized world all armed conflict.
If only.
Okay.
I actually do think that there was a little bit of self-awareness there. Mm. Certainly, this is a guy in the film industry, so you can't put it lightly that he wasn't promoting the film industry,
right.
Of course. But the idea of like it sounds like he was an optimist. It sounds like he was somebody who believed in empathy. And okay, there's thousands of people around the world who have never experienced war, seen war, but then you see a moving picture about war, and you all of a sudden maybe understand what war is a little bit more. And like, well, maybe you're a little more hesitant to go to war because of that. Yeah. How could he have predicted, or anybody could have predicted? Actually, no, that didn't change things at all. Like, as far because as we not, know,
well, because it's not us that chooses to go to war,
right?
It's not
right.
Not the general. The general population doesn't say, "Hey, yeah, let's do this. Let's go to war."
Right.
When was the last time?
How it works.
Yeah.
When was the last time we voted on that?
Right.
Yeah. Have we ever had a referendum? Should we go to war now? Right.
I mean, we're not just us. I'm not just talking about America. I'm talking about all democratic countries. When has any of them ever voted to go to war? Ever. Like, that's as far as that goes, that's something that I think is kind of like never talked about.
No.
But is an awfully, awfully needed, interesting conversation.
Yeah.
It's not about whether I'm not at all asking if you believe in war or not. That is not the conversation I'm having. What I'd like to have is that what Melissa just touched on. When we do go to war, who decides it? Politicians, presidents, these things. Who's fighting these wars? Not presidents.
Not politicians.
Back in the day, when you had George Washington out there in the front of the army and everybody, and you had things like that, a little bit of a different story.
That was a little different,
When was the last president you saw suit up? The last time we saw a president even look remotely like this was a nominee, and it ruined his run. Remember, what was his name? It began with a D.
Howard Dean?
Not Howard Dean. The guy that went in the tank.
Dukakis. Michael Dukakis. Yeah.
Like, Michael Dukakis takes a picture of him in a tank, and it killed his whole entire political run. Like, that was it. That was the last time you heard of him.
Right.
We don't see our politics. We see our politicians bark. We see them pretend. But, I mean, we've had a couple of presidents in a row here who don't even have any military experience. We got one that dodged a war and got in, and this guy gets credit for being a manly man when he's the last thing of it. That was a lot more manly than anything he's ever done.
Oh yeah,
I like that term though. That's pretty funny.
So we go from him, this movie mogul DW, believing that DW Griffin, believing in world peace. The next one was constant war everywhere. The president of the American Chemical Society had a different take. He thought futuristic weapons would mean major cities would constantly be under attack. We are not there, but...
No, there's still plenty going on.
There's still plenty.
Well, a little self-interest there, too. Chemical industry?
Yeah, they were on there, too.
Women would be in charge, and men would be raising the kids. In a letter to the New York Daily News, a guy said women will occupy all highest positions and men will just do physical labor or just stay at home to, quote, wait on the babies or mind the pets.
It doesn't record whether he thought this was a good thing or not. Was he just complaining?
I don't know.
Or if was he being sincere?
Yeah, it's interesting to note. And it's kind of interesting to see that, we haven't gone that route completely, but we have certainly, it is, we have a little of that.
Yep.
Progress inequality with women in the workforce.
More world leaders, too, leaders of countries, prime ministers and that stuff, for sure, yeah.
It is on us to certainly give credit to the trailblazers and the people that have gotten us this far, and it is also on that we need to say that there was a lot of work to be done when it comes to that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
A limit to the number of kids you could have. A Department of Agricultural official predicted we wouldn't have enough food to go around, so births would, quote, have to be limited in some manner by 2024.
Wow.
Oh, that did happen in some places.
It did. But this is the we've had these population, scares.
Yeah.
Every like 20 years or so. In the 70s, it was really big, the population bomb and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, that's not unfamiliar.
Ask China how that goes, because you got a whole entire country, one of the most powerful countries of all time, that is scraping and trying to figure that out right now, mm-hmm. because of what they did with that, mm-hmm. They've paid the price for that. That has not gone over
now
well.
That having a population is decreasing now. Yeah,
you've got 80-year-olds in China running companies because there's nobody to take over.
Mm-hmm.
They can't retire.
Yeah,
you got a huge gap going on where you've got that group generation and then like 30-40 year olds and they're not ready to run major companies.
And the fascinating thing is in a lot of developed countries, Europe and the United States, we're doing it ourselves. We're decreasing the population, right, because we're just not having as many kids. Children. We're choosing it. Yeah. So yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cities would be totally rebuilt around cars. The 1920s were when cars really started taking off. In 1924, a Swedish architect wrote, in the city of 100 years from now, I see three-deck roads, speedways through the heart of town, and skyscrapers with entrances for automobiles as high as 15 stories.
Wow. Well, he was as close as you can get to being right. Not quite to that level, but man.
Not to the structure, you know, like the architecture part of it, but definitely
cities are built around cars. Yep.
And remember,
on foot.
Remember, everybody, I want to bring this back. And when we get together again on Wednesday, I want to do predictions for 100 years from now. I want
That.
We'll have more time then.
Yeah.
But
2 days to think of things.
Yes. And the final one on this list, everyone would be flying to work.
Flying cars.
A real estate mogul in New York said the airplane was still in its infancy, but eventually we'd all be using them. Quote, it will be the everyday occurrence for the businessman to fly from home to office and back home again. His feet
only
never touching the ground.
Wealthy. If you're a billionaire, yeah, you can handle that. But the rest of us, not so much.
We've all seen the recent videos of guys with jetpacks.
Mm-hmm. Man,
in the military.
The jetpack finally going to be a thing? Is it finally going to be a thing now?
It's a household. Has anybody ever seen the jetpack work? Like when they're trying to make jetpacks work, and like the test one, test two, it's really we have walked the moon and we cannot figure jetpacks out. We cannot figure those out.
There's probably a lot of operator error going mm-hmm. on there too.
You want to go down a weird rabbit hole? Jetpacks, like at NASA, the different companies that have worked, private companies that have worked on them. It is fascinating.
They want it to work so much.
I want to say it's going back to the early 1900s. We've been trying to create jetpacks,
personal,
like yeah, personal jetpack-like
things. Yeah,
everything.
The
crazy.
Best we've done are hang gliders.
Yeah. Don't use any fuel.
It's true.
Just
it's
use
true.
The wind.
It's true. We will take a quick time out, come back, and have some more fun on the morning show here at WFHR, Locally Grown Radio.
Locally Grown Radio, from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
You're listening to Locally Grown Radio, WFHR.
Hi, it's Tori DeVito. In every family, small conversations can make a big impact. I grew up on tour with my parents. Kind of different, but we bonded over music just like other families do over sports, camping, or other interests. And we talked. Little everyday conversations from silly to serious that built a foundation over time. Honest conversations, like when my dad shared his experiences as an alcoholic.
Your honesty about that part of your life gave me a sense of integrity that I wanted to uphold in my own life. And I was so grateful that you and Mom had become these sober, stable people who were always there for me.
I wanted you to know, from someone who's been in recovery more than 30 years now, that hard work is what creates success, not alcohol or other drugs, whether it's music or anything else. I said it a lot, and I'm glad you took it to heart.
Talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Say it with me, the Bucks in six. And you can catch every play, every score, every Milwaukee Bucks game on Locally Grown Radio, WFHR, 1320 AM, 97.5 FM. Your station for the Milwaukee Bucks, your hometown radio refreshed.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's the calm before the storm. Cloudy today with high temperatures climbing to the mid-30s and snow starting to slam us after 9 o'clock tonight, prompting a winter storm watch that lasts through tomorrow evening. Around 4 to 7 inches is expected, with the heaviest of it hitting tomorrow morning. Currently, it's 28.
Do-do-do-do-do. I'm so used to bumper music.
Do-do-do-do-do-do. Yay.
And I keep doing the Mario theme. Yeah. I don't know why. I have no idea why.
It's easy to do.
I haven't played that game in 2 decades, and it just popped. It just seems to pop right in my head. I want to get to our schedule here, our sports, and some local good stories of the day, but we got to touch on this one real quick. This happened over the break. I don't know if anybody got to see this. There is a temporary new exhibit at a large Bass Pro Shop in Leeds, Alabama. If you go to the aquarium, you might be able to see a guy trying to swim with fishes over there. Last Thursday night, a 42-year-old man named George Owens crashed his car into a pole in the parking lot of Bass Pro Shops. Then he got out of his car, stripped down to his birthday suit, ran into the store, and did a cannonball into the aquarium.
Oh, dear.
Later, he walked over and stood under a waterfall. Naturally, the shoppers were quite stunned. He also hurt himself doing this, by the way. Oh, the police showed up, and before they caught him, he jumped into the water a second time, then slipped, fell, and knocked himself unconscious.
Oh, no. Oh.
It's unclear if he was, you know, what this was, a breakdown, whatever that might be, but he was charged with public lewdness and a bunch of other things. He is not going to be able to run into a Bass Pro Shops anytime soon.
They're going to have his picture. Picture everywhere, every Bass Pro Shop. Do not let this man in.
I'm not mad at him for wanting to jump in the pool. That's got to be something that's very tempting to anybody. you see a pool in a shop that's mm-hmm. not normally doesn't have one. It's going to be tempting to do, but you can't do it. You can't do it.
To do it naked?
Yeah, that's
the weird part.
That is the weird part.
Plus,
that is.
Didn't anyone ever tell him don't run around the pool?
Yes,
you won't slip and fall and knock yourself out.
That may be the biggest part of the ain't right part of the story.
That's the learning.
Yeah, come on. We all know better. We all
come
know
on, everybody.
You just don't do that.
Yeah.
I need a palate cleanser, and boy, we got a good one for you today, everybody. Join us from 3 to 4 for Playmakers. It's our live sports call-in show. You can call up and join the conversation. And a very special show today. One, of course, we got Randy Paul joining us again. That's going to be fun. We'll be covering some local sports for you. It is Axe Day in the NFL, where there are a lot of head coaching jobs going. But
they're not working no more.
No, we're also going to have a very important conversation with GM and head coach of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Coach Paul Peckman, going to join us today at 3:30. Looking forward to the fourth period and talking with Coach and talking some River Kings. Nice win for them yesterday.
Very nice win.
Looking forward
number
to
number one team, yeah.
It's going to be a good show. We're going to be a really good one. We'll have fun with that. And then at 6:30 tonight, Milwaukee Bucks versus Utah Jazz.
Oh, that's right.
Right here on WFHR, baby.
The Bucks are
basketball.
Here. We finally got them. Yes.
Tip off at 6:30, baby. Yes.
Yes.
On WIRI, we've got some great basketball going on as well. High school basketball, Neillsville at Assumption. Assumption girls basketball. Mm. Randy, Michael, Seth on this one. You know it's going to sound good.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I love hearing them Lady Royals. That's going to be a good one. We also have our homeless point in time count coming up, Seth, that I wanted to let people know about.
Yes, because they need volunteers, everyone. It's a semi-annual survey which seeks to gather a snapshot of homelessness in every community in a single night. During the PIT count, volunteers canvass Southwood County to record the number of people experiencing homelessness locally and offer resources as available. It begins at 11 p.m. Wednesday, January 24th, and wraps up early in the morning on Thursday, the 25th. It is the program. It's at the North Central Community Action Programs Office. That's located at 2111 8th Street South in Wisconsin Rapids. Get there at 10:30 p.m. for a brief training orientation before the events again begins. No prior experience or training is necessary. If you want to get in touch with the United Way, Ben is the one to talk to. You can call 715-421-0390 or email Ben at uwswac.org to get more information.
All the concerts at Rams Auditorium are going on. We want to tell you about. There is one happening tonight. A sixth grade band concert going on tonight. I believe it starts at 5:30. I have 6 o'clock here, but I've been told 5:30
is when
it start.
All right.
And you can find. You can actually live stream this.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Cool.
WRPS.org. Shout out to Laura letting us know about that.
Nice.
That is really cool.
All right.
Take in this concert if you can. It is like you go and you're going to see some very young, talented people, mm-hmm. and that is wonderful. Whether they sound good or not doesn't matter. It's the support. It's them looking out into yep. the auditorium and seeing tons and tons of familiar faces and tons of strangers that came yep. to see them perform.
Got to start somewhere, man.
It builds confidence. It builds, you know, self-worth.
Yep.
There are so many positives to supporting these kids, yeah. along with being entertained.
Yep.
Go to the Rams. And that Rams auditorium, one of the best places
it's
you
nice.
Can hear anything.
It's really nice.
The acoustics in there and everything are fantastic.
Yeah.
Break a leg. Have a great, great concert, you guys.
Yeah.
Enjoy. Again, about 5:30, sixth grade concert starting at Rams tonight. Be mm-hmm. sure to check that out.
Yep.
The U.S. Mint released three new coins celebrating Harriet Tubman, who helped run the Underground Railroad before slavery was abolished. They include a new $5, $1, and 50-cent piece. Congress passed a bill to create them back in 2022.
Very cool.
Wonderful.
I wanted to touch on this, too. An 89-year-old Navy vet in Florida loves hanging out at a diner in Pensacola called Seneca 90. So last month, they posted a photo of him on Facebook and said, Mr. Lee loves our company, but we love him even more. The post went viral, and now they're planning a big 90th birthday for him.
All right.
Woo. Looks pretty cool.
Awesome.
Great show today, you guys.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was fun.
James. Thank you, everybody.
It was an adventure.
Yeah, sure was. Be good to each other.